Isaiah 43, verse 1. Let's hear the Lord's word. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. Fear not, for I am with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far, and my daughters from the ends of the earth, even every one that is called by my name. For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. Yea, I have made him. Bring forth the blind people that have eyes, and the deaf that have ears. Let all the nations be gathered together. Let the people be assembled, who among them can declare this, and show us former things. Let them bring forth their witnesses, that they may be justified, or let them hear and say, it is truth. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe me, and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Thus saith the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles, and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ships. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus saith the Lord, which maketh a way in the sea, and a path in the mighty waters, which bringeth forth the chariot and horse, the army and the power. They shall lie down together, they shall not rise. They are extinct. They are quenched as tow. And I want to minister today on the theme, Fear Not. There are many things that may cause fear to the child of God and to all men today. Living through this pandemic is a fearful thing. Of course, we're not to live by fear as Christians, but also we are realists to recognize that there are dangers all around us. And that little virus, well, it is always seeking, lurking at this time. We need to pray that God will watch over us. He does promise that he will give us his angels and that no evil thing shall come nigh our dwelling. And so today, the theme of our program is going to be resting in the help of the Lord in times of fear. Would you join with me in prayer, and let's ask the Lord to guide our hearts. Father in heaven, we thank thee that as redeemed children, we can come to thee as our heavenly Father.
casting all our cares upon Thee, for Thou dost care for us. O Lord, remember the burdens and cares of Your people, those that are hurting and lonely, those that are confused and distressed. Many of us are weary of this pandemic, the extra burden of reorganizing life and of keeping distance and isolation in times. O Lord, have mercy, we pray, and remember us in the midst of this pandemic. We pray that Thou wilt cause Thy face to shine upon us. Lead us to the throne of grace in prayer. Minister to us and draw nigh to us. Lord, we thank Thee that we're never in isolation from Thee, that we have this way of access into Your presence, and You've promised that You will never leave us nor forsake us. And so build up our faith and keep us looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus we ask these things. And now we turn to our broadcast today. Stay tuned with us here on the program, and at the close we'll have a wonderful hymn, a hymn that will lead us into rejoicing, I know. May the Lord bless you.
Tonight we're coming to Isaiah 43 and a number of verses here, but verse 2 in particular, which is a wonderful promise. On these Sunday evenings, we've been looking at some outstanding promises of the Bible, words that have been pillars of help to God's people in the past, and for all the years to come, we can lean upon them. Now, I want to read this verse, and I hope that you can get it in your mind as we ponder it tonight. Isaiah 43, verse 2. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. My very first memory of the value of this Bible verse was when a little girl in my home church back in Oma, Free Presbyterian Church, a little girl was in hospital. And a fellow Bible student who was with me at Bible College, the Theological Hall we called it in those times, I was traveling with him, and he wanted to call at the hospital to visit this little girl. And I remember pulling up at the hospital in Belfast, and the surroundings were very strange to me. You must remember I was a country boy. The number of times I had been in the city prior to that, the number of times that my father had ever been in the city were very few. And so I was learning something of city life, tall buildings, sitting outside this hospital. But my friend, Alan Edgar, he reached for his Bible in the back of the car, and he wanted to look up this verse that he might share with that little girl. Now, her name was Shirley McFarland. She is now my sister-in-law. She married Beulah's brother. But for whatever reason, she was in hospital at that time, and my friend Alan was going in to visit with her, and he sat in the car and he was flicking through his Bible trying to find this verse. And ever since then, I have leaned upon this a number of times in visiting the sick and trying to comfort those who are going through various kinds of trouble. Now, I want you to notice at the outset in this verse, this is not a promise that you will not have trouble, but rather it says here over and over, when thou passest through the waters. Now, this promise is really contrary to all that the Pentecostals would teach. Pentecostals tell us that atonement was in the sickness was covered in the atonement when Christ died on the cross for his people, and they take that text right out of context that he died for our sicknesses. And they say that if you're a Christian and you have faith, then you'll never be sick and you'll never have such bodily trouble. Well, all those founders of Pentecostalism, where are they now? They have grown old. They have aged like everyone else, subject to all the infirmities of the body. And Pentecostals get sick at the same ratio as any other Christians get ill, and they suffer ailments in the body. And so this promise is not that you will never have trouble. If that was the case, you would have no martyrs. There would be none of the apostles that had laid down their lives for the gospel. Rather, the Bible tells us, and the Lord Jesus taught us, that as a Christian, ye must enter the kingdom of God through much tribulation. And the Lord warned that there's a heavy cost to be a disciple of Christ. And in that first century, if you were living in Rome at the Colosseum, you might have witnessed Christians laying down their lives to the lions or the gladiators, or in various ways butchered because they would not say Caesar was Lord, but insisted that Jesus was Lord. And so here is a promise for the Christian to have tucked away for a day of trouble when trouble comes. And it will come. Every one of us are going to face things that we don't like, that we don't want, and they will be hard, they will be contrary to our nature, and we will go through difficult things in this life. Now, when this text refers to waters, rivers, and fire, it is really alluding to all kinds of different sorts of trouble. It's like you saying to your friend, I've been through the mill this week. Now, that could be almost any kind of trouble. Could be financial trouble. It could be neighbor's trouble. It could be your wife's in trouble. It could be all kinds of things that are contrary to life when you say you're through the mill. Or whenever you say, boy, I've been feeling under pressure. When this text says that you're going through the waters and the rivers and fire, it really is alluding to any kind of trouble that the Christian might face. And so we must take this on board and rejoice in it. And it's blessed for the Christian to know that when we do enter trouble, that we have the Lord's promise to help. And he says, when thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. You see, our immediate thought in trouble is that we're abandoned. When you end up in hospital, when you end up in financial straits, when you end up friendless, the immediate thought of our nature is, God has forsaken me. Why is God doing this to me? But the Lord has not abandoned us. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. And he goes on to reassure that he has not abandoned us. And so the truth that we need to take out of this text, this is the honey that we need to find for the sweetness of the Christian's life, is simply this, that God's presence will sustain us in earthly troubles. Would you write that down for me? God's presence will sustain me in earthly troubles. That's the truth that we can discover and underline in this very promise. We see here that the redeemed are sustained by fear-free living. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Fear-free living. But that's what the Lord says here in verse 1. Now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not. And here we come to one of the wonderful fear-nots that you discover in the book of Isaiah. A number of years ago, it might be 15 years ago now, I preached right through the fear nots in the book of Isaiah. And when I was a young Christian, I went through with my pen, and I think it was a fountain pen. It was a very bad one to use because it smudged the pages. And I still have that Bible. And every time I look up that Bible and look at Isaiah, I can see that I made such a mess of the text when I was trying to either underline it or circle it, whatever I was doing. And so you need to be careful what pen you use on your Bible. But there are a great number of these fear nots. Now, why are they required? Why do God's people need to have recorded for them so many fear nots? Because we're fearful. Because the average week of our lives, we find ourselves facing something that we fear. And sometimes we're even hamstrung and totally disabled as a Christian out of fear. And we sort of recoil and we go into some little hiding place and we don't really become an effective Christian when we live in fear. Now, this fear not addresses a very big issue that the whole book of Isaiah was dealing with. When Isaiah wrote this major prophecy, and it's the longest written prophecy in the Old Testament, when he was writing this, there was a big issue coming up, but it was still something over 100 years away, and that was the Babylonian captivity. The 70 years that Israel would go into captivity. And here, this prophecy was warning them, it's coming. It's coming. And you're going away to Babylon. If you go over to verse 14 in this passage, you will see that Babylon is mentioned. Thus saith the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, for your sake I have sent to Babylon, and have brought down all their nobles and the Chaldeans, whose cry is in the ship. And so you can see that reference underlines and underscores the point that here is a people that were being warned that due to their idolatry, the Chaldeans would invade and they would be taken off into this exile into a foreign heathen land. But the fear not that even then they would not be abandoned. I will be with thee. Even then, when they are in captivity in a foreign land under another, the heel of another despot leader, that God would remember his own people, he would be gracious to them, and even care for them in their time of need. And you know, while they were in Babylon for 70 years, while it was such a long time, the people of Israel prospered. You have men like Daniel, and even though they were threatened with fire and persecution because they would not bow down to the image, yet you remember how Daniel prospered. And many Israelites, many of God's people in exile, greatly prospered to the point that when they were allowed to return under Cyrus, many didn't want to go. Many decided to stay on rather than going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the city, because their lives had become, I wouldn't say comfortable, but certainly tolerable, and they had prospects even in Persia at that time. Now, God gave this word to his people, fear not, and it was just what they needed, to live by faith and not by fear. My heading, remember, is fear-free living. How do you and I live without fear? The answer is faith. Faith living by feeding on the promises of God. And so many things in this verse, and that's verse 1 I'm looking at now, are given to build up our faith so that we can claim the promise and to enjoy fear-free living. Let's look at verse 1. We want to dig into this and just find the foundation upon which we stand to live by faith. The first thing to remember, and the Lord is saying, but now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, that it's Jehovah. God is Jehovah. He is the covenant-keeping God who is self-existent and changes not. That's for our faith. That's what we stand upon as Christians. Now, we're also told here that he is our creator. He created thee. Israel once were nobodies. In fact, if you go way back far enough to Abraham coming out of Ur of the Chaldee, there was no Israel, there were no Israelites, there were no people of God. There was Abraham, an idolater in Ur of the Chaldees, a place under judgment from God. And God called Abram out and promised him a seed, a people as the stars, and created a new nation. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and the names are given right here for us to remind us of that. Now, God created this little group, the Israelites, a new people, a new nation. They were small, they were powerless, they had no army, they had no great resources. Indeed, they started out as pilgrims in the earth, and then they ended up in Egypt as slaves in total bondage. But to address that, you'll notice how the Lord says in verse 1, "Fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have bought you. I have made you mine." Now that's true as you think of them coming out of Egypt into liberty, into the promised land, after the years, the many years of bondage. They were redeemed. They were set free. And they were brought out. And you'll notice also that they are called by name. I have called thee by thy name. So it's no mistake that God has called them Israel and the descendants Israelites. Now note the reference to Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and they go together here. God made Jacob, Israel, a prince with God. Out of Jacob the sinner, the heel catcher, the twister, the schemer, God created a new nation, a people, and he knows them by name. He has bought them, and he is their God. And he gives them this promise, I am with thee. Now, you're a Christian tonight, and you have asked the Lord into your life to be your Redeemer and your Savior, and the Lord will be a Savior to you, which means he will keep you, guide you, and he will watch over you. And once you put your name among the redeemed of God, immediately you begin to fill up with hope and comfort that you will never be forgotten. Can you take that in? Would you write that down as well? I can never be forgotten. God cannot forget his redeemed, and he will not forget his redeemed. Now think of the many in the New Testament who lived in fear-free living because they had the Lord's presence with them. Even in the most dire circumstances, when their lives were threatened, they shone in the blessing of the Lord that was upon them. And my mind immediately goes to Paul and Silas in jail, singing and praying at midnight. They had the Lord with them, right there in that jail. And you know the account of how God visited and thundered and the earthquake, and they were free to go. And others, even the jailer was coming to the feet of Paul and Silas saying, what must I do? God was with them in that place.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, and this is Ian Gollaher. I want to come back to that verse again, where in Isaiah 43:1, the Lord says, "But now, thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine." Built into that one little verse is all the love of God. In creation, you have all the power of God and all the mercy of God when he says, "I have redeemed thee and called thee by thy name." And here is this personal word of assurance that we are called into the secure, safe grace of the Lord. If you're a Christian today, you are safe. If you're a child of God and redeemed by the blood of Jesus, you will never be in hell. Your sins are washed away, and you have wonderful peace with God. Let nothing rob you of that peace. Let nothing steal from your heart the blessed assurance that Jesus saves. And I pray that today that you will just look to the Lord and keep on looking for him to bless you.
Upon the land or on the rolling sea, for come what may, from day to day, my heavenly Father watches over me. I trust in God, I know he cares for me. On mountain bleak or on the stormy sea, the billows roll, he keeps my soul. My heavenly Father watches over.
You are listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of the Free Presbyterian Church in Canada. This is Pastor Ian Gollaher. If you missed part of today's program or would like to hear it again, you can find it archived by program date on our website. Just go to www.ltbs.ca. CA for Canada. There you can read my blog, find my Bible study notes, audio and video sermons, as well as helpful articles. Or you can go to our podcast on iTunes. We're on the air Sundays at 9:30 a.m. for our full church broadcast, and Monday to Friday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. on this station to bring you the gospel from our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. We also invite you to our church services on Sundays, 10:30 and 6 p.m. Through our website, you can listen and view to our online services at 10:30 and 6 p.m. Make it your Sunday worship. Click on the Live Now button on the home page of our website. Or if you would like to talk with me one-on-one as a pastor, please give me a call. The phone number is 604-576-1091. The mailing address is 18790 58 Avenue, Surrey, BC, V3S1M6. We're located just two blocks north of Number 10 Highway on 188 Street. Our website again is ltbs.ca. You can join us Monday to Friday, 5 a.m., 5 p.m., here on this station as we let the Bible speak.